don't make it matter. Got good things, got you. Hoops and everything. Get back, never get back too soon. Are you lonely? Are you there when I'm not in the room? Are you only? Only a part of this when you choose.
Hello and welcome to the Point of Difference podcast. I am your host and coach of the Terrace Crew, Matt Ricks. Round 14 is done and dusted as we cross the halfway point of the 2024 NRL Supercoach season. Supercoach teams are beginning to look eerily similar as coaches worldwide scratch their heads as to whether or not they have overthought their origin by planning scenarios, with Trell going 150 and Lomax 170. It was a high-scoring round, and one of those who went big joins me tonight. Our first guest pumped out a monstrous 1,313 points. Unlucky for some, but not this man. Coach of Tubes' Pods, Tubes. Tubes, welcome back to the pod.
Yeah, thanks, Matt. Nice to hear you introing again after a week off.
A couple of weeks off,
yeah. So, happy birthday for last week as well.
Thank you.
Got the big party on the weekend, so looking forward to that. It was a good week. I was going to say some people's teams might be looking similar, but I think I'm looking a little bit different to the rest. Score reflective, so I'm pretty happy about that.
What went really right for you on the weekend?
I think Latrell VC was helpful. Dylan Lucas going over 100 was a nice surprise after he was named at centre. Just had a few others go pretty well. I ended up bringing in Fifita. That was a bit of a thinking point, and I was regretting it about three quarters of the way through the game until Cody Walker decided to fire up the beast, and he came home well. And I bought Jerome Hughes in a few weeks back when I was deciding between him and Wishart, actually, and brought in Hughes. Either way, it was going to be a winner there.
I went to the Storm game and got to cheer on my boy Wishy live in action. It was a good lot of fun. I can't really work out. I scored a 1070 on the weekend, which saw me drop down from about 1300 to 1800. And I bought in Cody Walker for his ton, and I've got Wishart, so I just don't really know where it all went wrong.
Who'd you captain? Drinky?
No, Karaz. Yeah. So I was, couldn't really. I just can't nail a captain. I need some variance like you got on captain choices. It's a tough one. I knew I was so confident Latrell was going big, but I just couldn't do it with him. Probably only playing three out of the next six, likely to get picked for Origin now. I would have thought it at left center, right center. I don't know what they'll do there. Anyway, not to worry. We move on and onwards and upwards. Still well placed coming in for round 15 and the rest of the bye period. Our second guest tonight has done a good job filling in as per usual in the host seat last couple of weeks. Twice last week, in fact, after the now infamous ghost pod that never went to air, but they mentioned it enough times on the second pod. It's coach of Flatty Burton. Jono, welcome back, Jono.
Matt, I was wondering where you were going to go with the intro there, because as you are very well aware, my rank is low. I was thinking, does he mention it? Instead, no, just don't even mention Supercoach ability. Just he fills in a ride as a host sometimes. I'm back analysing today. Like Tube said, you said that all the teams are different. Well, my ranking may argue with that, although not in the positive way that Tube is, because I'm sitting 25,000th after a big 3,000 spot increase. And it's actually, I was having a look at like my history of this year and feeling upset about myself, but it's the second highest I've been all year since round one. My overall rank was 14,000. I've now worked my way back up to 25,000. So feeling
chip away.
Good.
Keep chipping away.
It's a long way to go, John. As I said, it's only just gone past halfway. So I think you can at least make your way into the top 10K, and I'll be disappointed if you don't. Let's get stuck in tonight, fellas. Reminder, you can find us on X at NRL SC Pod. We're pretty active on there. Come check us out, interact. It's good fun. the Pod group prize. We've got over 140 entries in there this year. Still leading is coach of the Dead Hand Gang, Quinton. He's up to sixth overall, up from ninth last week. So he continues to do really well. Well done, Quinton. And I should mention that, of course, the Pod prize is a 2.5% share in a Mailbag Bloodstock horse who continue to go from strength to strength. A big winner up in Brisbane a couple of weeks ago with Just Folk. Big shout out to Dicko and the boys at Mailbag Bloodstock. Tonight in Tubes' Temper Traps, we're going to get going with some big, big names. So let's get stuck into that. First in the Temper Trap Tubes is a man who's just been announced he'd signed for the Knights, but now he signed for the Lee Leopards. It's David Armstrong, who's been, what's the word I'm looking for there, controversially dropped from the Knights team with some sniff of a quad injury, but who knows? He's not playing this week. That's all I know.
Yeah, he's been strong-armed. he's out of the team. He'll be leaving Tubes' pods pretty soon as well. I think he's a sell, depending on what your team looks like now. I'm going to hold him because I'm trying to save trades and I don't need to bring anyone in this week. So I'm just going to wait another week before round 16 and see how we go. But I think if you're looking to upgrade at center wing, he should be straight out of teams for sure.
Yeah, it's a bit of a – I mean, you could give it a week or – he's not an urgent sell because he's not going to play. So he's not going to lose any cash. Yeah. So. Not too much to worry about there. Our second man on the Temper Traps, I'm going to throw a couple at you here, Jono. It's the Bulldogs back row pairing of Josh Curran and Jacob Preston. Preston announced today that he has not fractured his leg, meaning that he could be back in potentially even next week with the Dogs on the bye this round. Josh Curran, also on the bye, obviously, had a pretty bad Cat 1 HIA, but he'll be right apparently for round 16 as well. Are those guys in the gun for you?
I think both clear holds, Matt, especially with that. I hadn't heard the Preston news, so that's huge for people who brought him in just last week. So, no, I think they're definitely both holds. Curran, absolutely. He could be your third front row forward for the run home, and he's dual, so you can flip him around. And Preston's still going to have that massive score in his rolling average for another week, so there's no way I'd be selling him if back for the next round.
Yeah, I think he's a hold for this week. If he doesn't play next week, then... it's a tightish one. Tubes, you look like you got a bit to say on Presto.
Oh, I don't care about Preston. Curran, like, he's just a dot ball. Like, I sold him last week straight out. Like, just he's there's not much about him. 530K. I think you can probably find a better front row forward as your third option. And, to be honest, I upgraded him to David Fifita. I think it depends on what your forwards look like, but if you can get the cash to go Curran to AFB, I think he's a fine sell. I think he's sort of just a number you're holding on to for 16 now.
He's more than a number, though. It's not a Sam Hughes situation where you're literally just holding on for a number and hoping for the best. Like, he's not a bad player, Curran, to have as your break glass in case of emergency and rotate around.
Yeah.
I think, Sims, you're in a bit of a position where you've got a lot of numbers for round 16. So, like, you're fine to trade, but I don't think everyone's in that same position. And I agree with you. He's not like a gun, but he's a fine hold.
Yeah. He's fine. I just think he's a good it just depends what your team. I think he's also an okay one to sell, especially because he's at that number where if you can get a good upgrade for him, like I said, mainly to an AFB, that's probably the main one I'd be looking to bring in at this point.
Just depends on your current situation.
Yeah, don't mind that, Jono. Strong. I think that's enough for the current content. I think that's more than anyone needs on Josh Curran.
I mainly just wanted to put in that I sold him.
Popular hooker from a few weeks back turned into a bit of a trap. Jaden Brayley, Jono. He started on the bench on the weekend for the Knights. He's named to start this weekend, but his minutes are really, really flaky at the moment.
Yeah, 30 minutes off the bench last week, and Phoenix Crossan started and actually had a really good game. I was surprised to see that Brayley was named back in the starting lineup. So it's a watch and wait, I think, for the people who own him, for the 10% of players who have him. I just don't see who you'd sell to unless you can upgrade to someone. But then who do you really want outside of Harry? And that's a bit of a big jump. And I wouldn't be downgrading to Hands after what we saw in the weekend either. So I just hold for the moment if I was a Brayley owner.
Yeah, that hooker situation's pretty interesting because obviously Hands was popular last week, but Lussick played. He's not named again this week. I don't think you can really go there. We'll get to that in a minute. But, yeah, that second hooker spot, very interesting. I'm sure we'll talk about it some more. The most talked about player this week, Tubes, and you'll be all over this, you know, bit of soap opera stuff, Lachie Galvin from the Tigers. Fractured hand reportedly by his manager. The club saying it's not fractured, but we're going to give him a week anyway. Standard procedure, a few needles. He's requested a release. It's just all happening for young Lachie.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Did you see Adam Dewey's quote as well today? He's come out and just basically giving him like a backhand, like,
yeah, right.
Called himself a leader of the club, Dewey, that is.
Yeah,
and then said, if Benji's not, if these young players aren't doing the right things or saying the right things that us leaders in the group think they should be, then we'll put them back in reserve grade for a few weeks and train them up. Or some like strong words for a man that's played 3 first grade games in like 2.5 years. But I saw he was named in the 23 as well. So it could be interesting what is going to happen with Galvin now, whether or not I think he has to be a sell, but it's just, again, when you're going to do it and how long you can sort of wait for that.
I'm going to hold Galvin because basically with Dylan Brown, dual half 5'8", now, so much flexibility. I've got him up at halfback for now. I'm going to need Nico, I think, in round 17 if he doesn't get picked for Origin, seeing as I sold him last week. I'm going to try and get Galvin up to Nico somehow. I don't really know how I'm going to do that yet. But anyway, my point is that those slots are just so valuable, and that with Nico and Cleary to come in over the next month or so, I just don't want to be making a ton of trades there. And if Galvin's not playing, then that's okay. If he's playing, it's also okay. So I'm going to keep – he'll also be a handy number for me for round 19 if he does, if I end up keeping him. So I'm just going to hold for now. No rush.
Sideways trade to Cody, though, looks pretty tempting. Appealing. I know you already own Cody. Yeah, true. But similar, has that dual halfback 5'8". He doesn't, but he will have it pretty – he will have it, what, by round 16?
Oh, is he getting it?
17? Well, he will, because he's named at halfback again, and he's going to be playing halfback for the.
That's only that. This is only his second. That Bunnies. Was his first game at halfback on the weekend, though. So I don't know if he'll have played enough games.
When's the next
round? 8, round 16? 18.
Round.
Yeah, so
he'll have played enough.
Then. Only got to play 14, 3,
15, 16
to be eligible.
18. It'll be 4. Is it 3 games they need? Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
3.
You're the authority on these 2 Tubes, because you were right last time and I was wrong. So I'm not too big to admit that.
But I just think he's certainly attempting, obviously, break even of 100. We talked about their buy schedule at length last week. And obviously they back that up with a nice game against the Titans. Not that Latrell will be doing that every single week, but I just think it's, if you're looking for numbers for 16, well, they don't play 16, do they?
Who?
But if you're looking
at South play 16. 16 and 19.
Yeah. So if you're looking for numbers for 16, I think that's a nice trade to make this week. Cody's got a pretty low break even.
I feel like all this week's temper traps are a bit meh. Like, you can buy or sell; it doesn't really matter. It's just kind of very team dependent. Let's move on to our positional analysis now. Starting as always at hooker. Mentioned in the temper traps that hooker is a little bit funny this year, particularly, you know, for those who own Harry, he's been on a bit of a roller coaster, averaging just a tick under 66. Not really what you've come to expect from Harry, but he's looking relatively solid. The second hooker position is wide open now. I'm a Connor Watson owner. I've held through. He's going to get a game this week, which is good fun. But Jono, Appy and probably JMK, who we probably don't need to touch on as much. They're sort of the two prevailing second hooker option, but Appy's been named a halfback this week. Would that put you off as a potential purchaser of Appy?
It's enough that if I didn't own him already, which I do, it's enough that if I didn't, I'd be waiting until next week to make the call. I'd like to get another look at it. Because it could be good. I'd say it lowers his floor, but there's also a chance that it raises his ceiling if he's involved in everything for the Tigers. A little bit similar like what we saw with Cody on the weekend, where it just constant touches the ball, and if Appy's playing both sides of the ruck, which is possible, it could be a good thing, but there's also a chance he could come out and get 25 this week because he's not making tackles in the middle of the field anymore. What do you think, Matt? You're a non-Appy owner?
Yeah, I think it's a bit more of a, and I know Dan spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, or on the Ghost Pod, but it really depends on what you want to do and where you want to spend your money. Appy's got amazing buy coverage, but I'm still not fully convinced that he's not going to play Origin Game 2 or maybe Game 3. They play every round till round 20, which is obviously fantastic. But if I could, I'd probably be trying to get up to Jeremy Marshall King now for an extra 90,000 if I wanted to spend money at hooker. I'm pretty happy with Watson there for now. I might keep him. Yeah, again, it's a bit teams dependent. I'm not a pot on Appy. I think he's a nice price. He got some nice upgrades last week somehow. But yeah, that's I'm a bit neutral on Appy.
Kicking goals. Their run is just, I mean, I know you said playing every.
Well, Dewey comes back.
Oh, so you would think he'd take the
goal kicking.
Maybe. Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah. I think he will. I mean, Dewey's a better kicker than Appy. There's not much doubt about that.
Coming off another ACL, surely hasn't had time to practice his kicking. Or maybe that's all he's had time to do. Who knows? Leadership courses and kicking goals.
Potentially. Tubes. Well, the Eels boys. So as we mentioned, Brendan Hands, very popular purchase last week. He only made 32. Jono, you're our minutes man. Do you have any idea how many minutes he made that 32 in?
No. Hey, because when did I become the minutes man?
I'll fill that spot for you, Jono, just for this week. He played 70 minutes, Matt, at a 0.5 PPM.
So 34 points in 70 minutes, not ideal. Lussick was on the bench, came on for the last 10. I was going to bring Hands in, but thankfully I had some moves I could make to not have to. I was going to sell Sam Hughes for him, but I sorted that out and ended up saving the trade, and I'm pretty happy about it. I know Dan bought Hands in. It's a nice lineup for him this week. He's What's his price now? Like 300K?
Yeah, 290.
Are either of you tempted by Hands, like with Lussick out of the squad again?
70 minutes, guys. I just found out as the minutes meant. wasn't happy about Tubes trying to take the crown there. 70 minutes. Matt, I got him. And I did not like at all when you sent through the late mail on Monday that Lussick was back on the bench. I think it shows me enough that if I didn't already own Hands, it'd make me nervous that they're only ever one injury away from Lussick coming back in and filling a spot on the bench just because they have so many injuries at the moment. So if I didn't already own Hands, it would put me off bringing him in, even without Lussick on the bench this week.
What about the Podfather? He's a bit damned if he did, damned if he didn't. Like on the weekend, he wanted to bring in Hughes but didn't. He went Lussick to Hands and then ended up reversing the trade. And had to cop Lussick's AE of 7, but avoided bringing in Hands. So
I think that's still worth it.
Yeah, Lussick's just such a terrible hold now, though, isn't he, as well? Like,
yeah, you have to trade him out at some point.
Yeah, I wouldn't be getting Hands if I didn't own him, which I don't, and I won't be getting him.
Let's move down to front row forward now. Cliche, say it every week, not much doing it front row forward this year. Sam Hughes continues to mix his minutes a little bit. He looks all right, Sam. He's just very meat and potatoes, dropped an important ball. He actually downdated from 41 to 35, disappointingly, so I had to play him. But is he someone, Jono, that's a a urgent sell out of your team if you're still an owner?
No, I don't. I don't think it's urgent because he doesn't have that much cash to even lose. I mean, I wouldn't say urgent, but I would also like to. I did last week, and I'm happy I did, but not urgent, Matt.
Agree with that. On the flip side of the cheaper sort of guys, Tubes, it's your friend and mine, Davey Mowali, who you own. For his minutes are really looking up. Jono mentioned in the chat today, he's since Hornby's taken over as coach, he's kind of averaging that 50-minute mark, aside from a game where he was crook against the Broncos. Who was that against, Jono, when he was crook?
I know the minutes. It was 13 minutes. I can't remember the opposition.
It was the Cowboys. He turned 12 minutes.
Yeah. But his stocks are really on the rise, and he's a pretty nice price still in the sort of mid 300, I think 362. Tubes, you're biased, but is he a strong option now in the front row forward if you're maybe looking to go from someone like Hughes?
I am biased, but only because I have actually been watching him closely. I've owned him all year. He was my fourth front row forward that I started the year with, hoping he had a bit of a breakout year. And as an actual player, I think he's looked quite good most of the season. Like, Jason Demetrio clearly had lost the plot a bit towards the end, whatever he was trying to do to save his job, and his rotations were crazy. Like, the bench he was sort of coming out with each and every week, whereas it does seem to now have a little bit more stability with the minutes. In saying that, Cam Murray's named on the bench this week, and at his best, he's going to be a 70-minute-plus middle forward. So you've got to imagine that that's in some way, shape or form going to affect what the rotation looks like. So I wouldn't say he's a strong buy, Mowali, but I'm certainly happy to own him over the period and hope that he can keep getting, you know, 40, 45 to 50 minutes.
What's your inkling, Jono, with what happens to Kwale Matangi when Murray comes back into the starting lineup?
I just assume he goes back to an edge.
For Cheekam?
I would assume so. I think it just makes the overall balance of the squad stronger. If he does go into the middle rotation, that would be bad for Mowali. In saying that, I still couldn't see him dropping below the 40-minute mark, particularly when you've got rabbits like Sean Kepi lingering about. So I agree with Tubes, Matt, that I don't think he's a buy. I am also an owner like Tubes, and I'm pretty happy to have him coming into this period. But I wouldn't be looking to bring him in because I think at best he's pretty meat and potatoes. He's not going to get any huge scores. And at worst, if his minutes do drop, he might end up stagnating a fair bit. So I don't think he's a buy.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. It's a bit unknown. But, I mean, Kwale Matangi has been playing 80, hasn't he, as well, in the middle. So maybe it's not as dire when Murray's back as what I suggested.
I know, Murray but
comes back in for two Cam's minutes.
If Kwale Matangi goes into the front row, he's going to be playing commanding more minutes, like that combo. Yeah. If Murray's at lock playing big minutes and
Kwale Matangi. Oh, yeah, sorry. I just assume Kwale Matangi on the edge, but you're right.
I hope so.
If Kwale Matangi stays in the middle, yeah. Either way, too risky until you see what happens in the next couple of weeks.
Bit interesting, the Bunnies as a Supercoach team. I'm sure we got plenty more to talk about them moving forward. Elsewhere in the front row, AFB, just he's back from his little tantrum with a big ton. I would kind of want to bring him in this week. I don't own him, which is really frustrating, but he's 732K. His B is over 100 still this week. So he had that low score from a couple of weeks ago. Tubes, I'll start with you. Is this the week for AFB, or do you think we can give it another week or at all?
I think I'd be interested to see you come across paths with AFB like in the Shire next year and accuse him of having a little tantrum just to see how he reacts.
I don't know how else to describe it. How would you describe it?
I'd just say it was a thick man letting off some anger. Just that was it. Like he was just wanted to let the world know how he was feeling. I think he's 100% a buy. I think no matter what, you're going to be paying premium price for him. Like, so it's just give or take, you know, a few thousand bucks. I think it's like everything at the moment. It's team dependent. It's how many trades you got dependent. and who you're willing to get rid of sort of in that front row, second row forward. Like I said earlier, I think if you're still holding someone like a Curran and you've got a bit of cash or you've got a downgrade this week, I think AFB is a perfect upgrade option in someone in that sort of 500K range.
Yeah, I think his price is basically as good as it's going to get now after that ton. The Warriors don't play 19, just something to be careful of, but he just looks such a great purchase. I'm going to still consider him this week, but at the moment he's not in my trade plan. Jono, is there someone who could maybe take AFB on? And I'm looking in the direction of your hometown, and that's Joseph Tarpany from the Raiders. Geez, it's been a yo-yo for Tarpany. Dan really gave it to him a couple of weeks ago on the pod, and he came out and showed Dan with a big 83 base for 117 points against the Dolphins. Is that the turning point in Joseph Tarpany's season? He's 616K, and Raiders have just had the bye. He feasibly, I'm not going to say he could match AFB, but he could go close.
Yeah, I don't know that he's going to have the consistent try-scoring upside of AFB, but like just looking at his minutes, I do like Joey Tarpany. I reckon Tubes is usually someone who's a bit colder on Joey than what I am, so we'll see what he has to say. But the last two games, he's been up over 60 minutes. And when he's getting up into those territories, he's just an excellent Supercoach player. He's got a pretty good history that proves that. So 75 a couple of weeks ago against the Roosters and that big score, Matt, like you said, against the Finns, where he got 110 in 63 minutes. If he can keep getting up around that 58-plus territory with his minutes, the scores will absolutely follow. And if that happens, I think he's underpriced. I think the question is just the Ricky Roulette, because whilst he's had 60-minute weeks, he's also had some stretches where he's had sub-50s at times this year as well. I do think there's a bit of a track record of him getting good minutes once the season's underway, outside of injury-affected scores, and I think there's a chance that could be starting to come good. Don't mind it if someone's trying to look for a value play to take on AFB.
Yeah, and I suppose as well, Tubes, if you're that sort of 100K short, but you do want to upgrade at front row, would that tempt you?
Yeah, for sure. I think he's a great option. I would like to get him in this week. I think a few weeks back when, I don't remember, but I was a bit cold on him, just, you know, typical Ricky, what's he doing with the minutes, what's Smithy's, but I do think that Tarpany in the last few games, he does seem to, as Jono said, he seems to have cemented his minutes, but even his work rate has seemed to gone up, and his last game was certainly encouraging in terms of getting the offload away. Surely with Fogarty out for the season, they need to rely on second phase play to spark their attack. So hopefully Ricky's given him a license to offload again. And I think he's at a good price at 600K. Raiders have a pretty good run. They played the round 16 bye. It just depends. Like, I've still got Stefano as my other second front row forward, and with their bye schedule, I just can't justify trading him. But again, similar to what I said before, like a Curran to a Tarpany, I think is a pretty good upgrade for under 100K.
I'm just struggling with these guys who don't. None of the Buddy Canberra, they play every week except 19, and I need round 19 guys. If I'm taking a chance on someone, I'd love them to be playing round 19, basically. But yeah, I could get around the Tarpany buy. Finally, at front row forward, someone who's coming on the sell radar, he had sort of a little bit less minutes on the weekend, is Ruben Cotter, Jono. Is he someone that you'd be looking to move on?
I think he's very much depends on your circumstance. He'd be a good one to move on to someone like a Tarpany or AFB if that's a position of need. But I think he's also a fine hold if you're happy holding him through the Origin period and playing Curran on those off weeks where he plays Origin, because that lines up pretty nicely. So fine to hold, but if you are looking for someone to get an AFB in and he's not that big of a jump, I reckon he's a pretty good way to do it.
I reckon he's an okay-ish hold, just given the Cows don't play those bye rounds anyway, so he's not going to miss any time. He might get some reduced minutes. But as far as like front row run home guys, like he's pretty much as good as any bar AFB. So
yeah, and interestingly, Matt, his minutes were really good on the weekend, just his work rate was down. He's still got 65 minutes.
Yeah,
so
wow.
It's just that the work rate was down.
Jeez.
He's definitely a very good third front row forward option for the run home. Like if you've got him, you can easily hold him.
Even second.
You could have sold him last week.
Even front
you,
row
you, yeah, you had him as a big sell last week, Tube. So what's the change there?
I just think he's like, I think he was a sell, like to,
yeah,
to like upgrade last week in the second row forward. Like if it got you a Fifita, he's dropped 40K since then. I still think like I wouldn't want to keep him, but like if you've held him now, I think you're sort of probably just going to hold him for the rest of time. Yeah.
Send him off! Send the drinking age off! Get him off the field! That were diabolical!
Down to 2RF, and there's a couple of jewels on the run sheet here. Three jewels, in fact. So we'll start. Let's get them all on the table here. Burbo's on the run sheet. We'll go with that.
I put him there, Matt, because he's like, I think he's like the second most traded in second row forward this week.
Really?
In Supercoach. Yeah.
Oh, well, Tubes, you're a
who?
You're a happy
Burbo.
Yeah, Burbo.
Yeah.
Ben Trbojevic for you out there, Dicko. I know you're listening. Always likes a full name.
You look pretty good on the weekend.
You can't buy Burbo.
You can't. Like, I can't believe it would be being bought. I mean, they do have a nice buy schedule, the Manly, but he's 473K. Like, he's not even value. Break even of one. Wouldn't be buying him. I'm happy to have held him for that
long.
He's
actually not that traded in now that I double checked. he's traded in by 172 super coaches. So
it's 100. It's 194 of the top 5%. So he's.
If any are listening,
okay.
I wouldn't be bringing him in this week.
A man who I'm a little bit more interested in, and is actually slightly more traded in, Jono, off a much lower base, mind you, is Sifa Talakai from the Sharkies. He had 88 points on the weekend, filling in for Teague Wilton. He's 396K, and I think he's got that spot for a while now, given Wilton. The Sharks, listening to the NRL Physio's Magic Sponge podcast, he said the Sharks have released nothing on Wilton's AC joint injury, and the inference there being that if they're not saying anything, then it's not a grade one. He'll be back in a week or two, probably more likely to be a 4 to 5 week injury, potentially longer if it's bad. But that's pretty good job security for Talakai, who's a proven Supercoach weapon when he gets the minutes. I think he's actually a sneaky pod option at 2RF, not so much at centre wing, but I really don't mind Sifa.
Matt, can you tell us more about what they said about the injury? Like, is there any estimation at all? Did the Magic Sponge give any guidelines to AC joints normally?
Yeah, grade two. Usually what Brian says is that it's a pain management issue, where they can needle them up, but they generally have to have a few weeks off if it's a higher grade. Sorry, if it's high enough grade and it's not getting any better, they can pain manage it and you can kind of play. But he just had a bit of suspicion about the Sharks not saying anything, because the Sharks have not released any information about the injury whatsoever. He's not obviously nowhere to be seen again this week. I suppose it all comes down to how confident are you that Sifa is going to get to round 19 starting. I know Dan mentioned that if he's on the bench for round 19, then that could be complete brains for your team. But I'm sort of inclined to think that maybe he will get to 19.
It's a really interesting situation, because he's one of those guys who, if people get in, he could be a big difference maker if not many people bring him in and he goes on a bit of a run. It would make me nervous, particularly with trades being low, because we do know that once Teague comes back, Talakai most likely will end up dropping back to the bench into a reduced minutes role, even if it is after 19. And that also means you're likely to have to trade him out again. You're probably not going to want to carry him from that point onwards if he goes back to that bench role. And at this time of year, with trades being pretty slim, I would rather not have to bring in someone who I plan trading him out, unless they're a genuine cheapie who I know are going to make a bit of cash. So that would be enough to give me pause.
Tubes, you look full of thought.
So if he plays, if he does make 19 and he plays five games at 80
Chuck's
minutes.
Chuck's going to buy.
Four games at 80 minutes. If he's in to make 150, 200K, as well as get you through that buy period, the trading him back out becomes a hell of a lot easier if he gets to sort of close to 600K at that time of the year. I don't mind him. I also like Trindle, is now named at 5'8", back on that edge. which when he was there early in the season made that left edge a bit more dominant for him actually while he was at center, and Ronnie on the wing. So I don't, and obviously we saw that with the try for Talakai on the weekend. He's just so destructive with his ball running and his tackle breaks. And if he's playing 80 minutes as an edge forward, I can't see how he doesn't end up at 600K. And as you said, Jono, like you wouldn't be shocked if in one of those buy rounds he actually went 100 plus as well. Especially, yeah. So I don't know if I'm getting him this week, but I think I like it as a bit of a pod play. If you're looking to not be as conservative as you have been all year, then he might be an option for you.
I'm semi in love with it. One thing that he's put me off a little bit is like he's struggling to break into my 17 this week. Like if you bring him in, squads are so deep this week. Then they don't play round 16. His BE's 8, so it's like not the end of the world. Like if he makes 60, he's going to go up 42K. I suppose that's a fair bit. It's tricky.
Yeah, so if he averages 62 in the next 4 weeks, he'll go up by about 130K.
You want more than that, though, don't you?
Estimation.
Yeah.
You want more, but I'm just trying to give a conservative number for people who are bringing him in. Obviously, every player you'd want more, Matt, but I'm just trying to give like a conservative view for people who bring him in. If it doesn't go that well and he averages 62, you're still in to make 100.
And he might, not. That's a pretty good outcome. He might not make round 19. Sharks have the buy round 20. So, like, putting my sort of logic hat on, like, I feel like I know how some of these NRL clubs think. They're like, sometimes I'll give them that extra week before the bye. So it's like, let's give him this week. If he's touch and go, but we'll give him this week off. We've got the bye next week. That gives him another rest. And then we'll bring him back around 21. This is Wilton I'm talking about. So, yeah, Jono.
Just speaking of Teague Wilton, what about I've just got a live trade offer from Dan in our draft league that involves Teague Wilton. I know this isn't a draft pod, but just he's offered me Teague Wilton for Lachie Galvin.
Oh, geez, a real.
These were burning.
Real titan of content, that.
Yeah. without going too much on CIFA, like their run, though, is just so ridiculous, isn't it? The Sharks, like, as in, they've got the Dolphins this week, then the bye, then they have Bulldogs, which is obviously a bit tougher these days, then the Titans, and then the Tigers. If Seaford plays 80 minutes all those games, if he doesn't get 120 plus, like, I'd be pretty shocked, to be honest.
Average 120 plus.
Or get a score of 120 plus, which is really what you're getting him in for, is for him to go big and elite.
It's a great run. It makes me want to own Nico again after selling him last week. All right. The other dual tubes is your boy, Dylan Lucas. You're back to the bench this week. What are you thinking for... Just a quick one on Dylan. I saw him in the flesh. He is a beast of a human.
Mm.
Really look good. I enjoyed looking at his back.
Fair enough. Good to know that he's got a good back. I'd be a bit more worried if he wasn't coming off 106 on the weekend. But I can just not play him in my 17 this week. I still think he's a fine hold. I wouldn't be shocked even if he starts come the weekend, even though he's named on the bench. It's good to know that he's obviously can score tries if they do put him back at centre. But he just looks like he's looked a very good player all year. Like, it's just that they just have Frizzell, and they've got such a stacked back row that they've got to try and figure out how to fit them all in.
I haven't really liked the look of Frizzell.
No, he's a bit dot ball this year. I don't know. He's been carrying a few injuries and potentially a few niggles. He just hasn't been his same explosive self.
I think they should really look at putting him in the middle. Like, Adam Elliott's not really doing it for me, but he's a big coach's pet.
They've named this side. You wouldn't be shocked if Frizzell ends up starting in the middle or coming off the bench and Lucas plays 80 minutes on an edge. I think he's a hold, and just, keep him for your buy coverage.
Looking at our premium 2RFs now, turned out not to really be the week to get Eli Katoa, who scored fine, 60, but he dropped a bit of cash. And David Fifita, the other premium option, similar enough. I'm pretty happy. I brought in Fifita 2 weeks ago. Tubes, you mentioned you brought him in on the weekend. he's probably like still fine to buy this week.
Yeah. I mean, I've got both of them now, and I think like you just need to have both of them over this. Like you want them. They're the two best front rowers, so you want them at the end, and they both have good buy coverage, so you want them now. Like you've got to just. I think we said heaven and earth last week. I think both of them are. I just try and figure out how to get them in your team.
Yeah, I don't think there's much more to add there, is there, Jono?
Nope.
Nope. All good. All right, let's move down to halfback now. Tubes, you mentioned your boy Jerome Hughes, 117. I was tossing up between him and Cody. I went the slightly cheaper option of Cody in for Nico last week. Nico holders have been rewarded with him named at halfback to start against the Dolphins on Thursday night. So it looks like he's going to play. He's got a break even in the 190s. I've seen him hit that kind of score before. I don't know. How do you want to attack this? Come and talk about Nico, guys.
There's not much to talk about, is it? If you sold him, you sold him. And if you held him, you're putting the vice captain on him this week. There's you've made your decision, haven't you? Prior to this week.
Now
let the chips fall where they may.
Yep. You made your call, and if your call is to sell him, you regret it now. Simple as that. Move on to the next guy.
You regret it more by round 18.
I don't fully regret it. Like a low score this week, and it was you're completely back. Obviously, you might have to sit behind the sofa to watch the game, but if I can get him under 80 this week,
he was rattled last year after Origin. Like it was a different performance. Like he came off the bench, but it took him a few weeks, from memory, to sort of refind his form.
The Sharks as a whole went into a little slump, didn't they, last year around this time?
Yeah, so I'm not banking him in for good points. I just think that you've made your decision and you're sort of sticking with it from now. I think after Origin last time he had he bounced back with a 90 against the Broncos, so not the worst, and then went 43, 129, 156, 109, so it didn't take too long to find his form again. Hopefully something similar.
I am dead set packing it this week as a non-owner, and I think I'm making provisions, as I mentioned earlier, to get him back if he doesn't get picked for Origin. Obviously, like I think everyone's kind of of the opinion now that Mitch Moses will get picked at halfback for the Blues, which rules him out as an option in Supercoach in the short term. It's, you know, Mitch could get injured this week and Nico could still get picked for Origin or 18th man, especially because the Sharks aren't playing. Like there are little things still the sellers of Nico could work out well. I'm just going to be making very strong provisions to be getting Nico back in for round 17, where they play three games. So they play the Dogs in 17, who are obviously really defending well this year. So depending on his BE that round, yeah, I think if he's not playing Origin, they're playing the Tigers in round 19.
The odds of him playing Origin in round 19, in my opinion, are very small because all of those things that you just outlined, and then he somehow still made Origin for Origin 2, which I agree is a chance, then the Blues have to win.
I think
if they lose, he won't be picked for the third game for sure. And I think it's a long shot that he's playing Origin in round three. He's playing Origin 3.
Do you think he's still I think Moses will get picked at halfback. I don't think there's any. I don't think there's too
Burton's
much.
Burton's probably ahead of him now.
You reckon? Yeah, that was going to be my question. Yeah. Is he still second choice halfback?
Probably not. I think Burton jumps ahead. Burton was too. Very. Yeah. Who? Cody Walker? Nah, I don't think so. I mean, I'd be shocked if, but either way, I mean, it's probably not going to get to that. Burton, I do think after just his performances of late, I wouldn't be completely shocked for there to be a Luai Burton combination either for Origin 3.
Will Nico Hines ever play Origin again?
Yes.
Yeah, probably. Sharks premiership this year should firm him back in.
I feel bad for him. Like
Remember Luai's going to the Tigers where Origin hopes go to die. So there's a 5-8 spot up for grabs over the next few years.
I'd like to see him get picked at 5-8 rather than halfback. I think that would be much better.
But outside of Cleary, that'd be nice.
Yeah. It's just a shame. Like, I think there's a chance he may never play Origin again. And he got 10 minutes at center, and then he got 8 minutes with 13 men on the field. So yeah, look, he obviously didn't have a great game after that, but geez, that's stiff. Hughes, Tubes. What do you want to say about Jerome Hughes?
Similar, like you've picked him. Like, I just don't think there's it could just be me, but I feel like last week was your halfback move, and then this week is you've got what you've got, and you sort of run with it. I do think that Hughes was the obvious option, but I think if I had to choose out of the two, and I was buying a halfback or 5'8", I'd still much rather Cody Walker now. Out of him and Hughes, if that was the two options put in front of me.
It's a good point, because the positions are pretty interchangeable now, with Dylan Brown having that dual status and he's very highly owned. If you're saying if you're buying a half or 5'8" this week and you're a Nico owner already, that you'd be going Cody Walker.
Mm. What about Wishy? Interesting. Wishy versus Hughes now at the price. He's got to make a lot of cash.
Well, the Supercoach community's finally woken up to Wishy. I saw some content creators putting him up as a buy this week at the $501,000 that he is. He's my boy. I've owned him for two rounds, and very happy owner. But Jono, I'm not sure I'd be buying Wishy at 500.
No, I think the ship's sailed now. Make a wish, move on.
Yeah.
I don't have anything. I completely agree. I don't have too much in-depth analysis to add.
I said it before, but these half 5'8" slots are just too important. And like Munster, he does have good job security. Like Munster's saying now that he might be out for another 10 weeks.
Harry loves him. Like, honestly, Harry just...
Yeah, Harry did
it's
love
like him and Harry are roommates, and they just, you know, got a little... They got a bit of Matty Bowen, Jonathan Thurston about him, a bit of a whistle. Bit of a toot-toot, and it seems to come his way more often than not.
A bit of a toot-toot. he's a good player. Like, don't underestimate him. Jeez, maybe you could buy him.
Actually, after I said it, with Galvin out, like, if you're going to move Galvin, I don't mind. Wishy's not the worst option to move him on to.
I'd still rather Cody for 90K more, I think, is my point. Like, I'd rather
And he covers 16 and 19 tubes too, Cody, which is good. Whereas Wishy, what's he cover?
He covers
19, but not 16. Yeah.
No,
it's the other way around. Yeah. He plays 16, but not 19. And they played the Tigers in round 18 as well, which is quite nice. Plus the Raiders at home and the Dolphins away. Wishy, his base is really strong. 42 in base again on the weekend. He just runs it so much. He loves running the ball. He's a run first. Sort of a half when he plays in the halves, but good footy player. Also at 5'8", Tubes, Jaden Campbell, who we've sort of spoken about intermittently on the pod this year, sort of had a few injuries. He's back now on the weekend. He's 460-odd K. He's not one of mine now that these 5'8 spots have become a little bit more premium, and I don't like him playing at 5'8 either. I'd much prefer him at fullback.
Kick goals on the weekend. That's probably what we talked about preseason. He was an interesting option at 5'8" if he was going to be kicking goals. They obviously have a nice bye schedule coming up, play 16 and 19.
And the Tigers.
But I still just think, I mean, for me, I'm sticking with my Titans rule, which is don't own any except David Fifita. You could make a case, but yeah.
I'll happily make that case for you, Tubes, if we want to make one. He's only played three full 80-minute games this year. He went 48, 53, and a 75 against the Rabbitohs on the weekend. No tries, no try assists in his 75 points on the weekend. It mainly came from offloads, tackle busts, goal kicks. I think that's really promising. I actually thought he looked fit and pretty good as well in the game against the Bunnies on the weekend. I think at 460K... and he's dual. We know he's got a big score in him from time to time. I think he's a pretty good super pot. He's only in like 2% of teams. And I think if you're looking for someone to downgrade Lockie Galvin to make a little bit of money and who covers round 16 and round 19, I actually think he's a pretty good super pot. And there is a little bit of temptation for me to make a move from Galvin to him once more Galvin news becomes available.
Interesting. I've got nothing further to add there.
What about Andrew King? Put him in the circus. Put him somewhere. He's too good for this game. Well, the juggler. The juggler's come out at Brookie.
Let's move down to the centre wing now. Always plenty doing at centre wing. Tubes, this is the week that non-owners of Ruben Garrick have been waiting for. They've played the Panthers now. Feels like he's a bit inevitable, Ruben Garrick. He made 90-odd on the weekend still against the Panthers away from home. They get the Dragons this week at home. Very nice fixture. Are you a Garrick owner? And if you're not, are you bringing him in?
I'm not a Garrick owner. When you said, like, he just feels inevitable, like, I pictured a, you know, like a Thanos Garrick meme going across my head.
A what?
Do you mean a meme?
Meme. A meme. A meme.
That'll do me. Stop the pun.
I want to bring him in. I just can't find a way to get him in to my team. I need to make some cash from somewhere. But yeah, he does feel a bit inevitable.
You're going to turn yourself into a meme tubes at this rate.
That's got to be your pronunciation's never been your strong point, tubes. That's got to be right up there.
I don't even know.
Like, I could understand it if memes were new, but like memes have been around for like years or more.
Who are we talking about? I've Ruben, lost everything.
Ruben Garrick. I know that Tubes really tried to steady the ship there with some analysis of Garrick.
I didn't hear a word of it.
I wasn't listening.
No, nah, I was gone.
Garrick's a good buy.
Nah, I think he's
sorry. Sorry, we're gonna get back.
He's a perfect. Sorry. He's a perfect buy to get this week. You just need cash to get him. You need to downgrade someone or have the money. He's 700K. You got to find out a way to get him. I want to have him by next week. He's not a must get this week, but I think he is by round 16.
Yeah, I think you need him ASAP. Let's get on to someone hot. A couple of guys who are going well. Not really buy targets right now. Karaz, Tubes, just quickly there as well. We'll just get back on it here. Karaz moved to the left wing. I captained him and I was not happy at all when I saw that. And that played out even worse than I thought with Blake Wilson getting a ton of ball. Do you think that actually puts a bit of a dent in Karaz's stocks long term, being on the left?
Does Burton play on the right, or is it just because Crichton's on the right? Like, what's the?
I'll tell you what it is. It's because Connor Tracy loves going to the right.
Yeah, okay.
And he he sweeps around, and then they either hit him, and he creates the overlap, or they hit Crichton, but they're watching Tracy at the back, and then Crichton obviously went ballistic on the weekend. But like that right wing has been really productive. Burton's on the left. He's obviously a bit more of a runner. Fox was scoring okay on the left previously, but that was more Fox doing Fox speed things.
Yeah.
Karaz got enough ball. I don't think it's a big red flag, but I'm not that happy about it as an owner. And look, I put him up as maybe a sell today if you have to, but
he's not a sell. I don't know. I don't think he's a sell. Like, not with them going. Him playing round 16, I still think he's a run home keeper. Fox will be back. He'll be back on that right wing. Like, I just think you want to hold Karaz now for the run home. But it certainly puts pause to you bringing him in for next week's bye, potentially.
Jono, for those people who are not Origin buy round truthers, Zach Lomax, 170 on the weekend, looking every bit the stud that he is. Is he potentially an option for the Dragons?
Look, he's someone you'd love to have in your team for the end of the year. It's tough, 730K. And he's obviously going to be missing a bit of footy over the bye period. Like you said, there might be some people who are focused more on head-to-head, and in that case, have at it. But I don't think I could touch him now. I'd love to see him reduce by maybe 50, 60K and get him in at the back end of the year would be a dream come true.
Yeah, they've got – he's only going to play, so he'll miss 16 through Origin, and Dragons got the bye that week. Then they play 17, 18. He'll miss 19 through Origin. Then they've got the bye around 20. So it's just not really the time to get him in, given he's going to miss three out of the next six rounds, I think.
And then their after Origin schedule is Panthers and Storm.
Like, and Bulldogs.
And Bulldogs, yeah.
They're the three best defenses in the whole comp, basically.
Yeah.
So that's probably a resounding no on the Lomax front. Also at the Dragons, which Fine are we talking about here? Is it Matt on the wing?
I'm pretty sure. Matt's the one who's had he's averaging 70 his two games, and he's on the wing. So he's been brought in by a few super coaches this week. I think he's priced at about 310K. That's off the top of my head.
Look, I just don't think he can be stuffing around with centre wing cheapies, particularly Matt Fiennes.
Yeah, I could stuff around with him if he was 204K, not at 310.
No. And they don't play 16. I just these centre wing slots are just so valuable. Like, there's so many big guns that you need in there. And look, if I'm gonna be spending less money at centre wing, I think I want someone, a fallen gun, someone like potentially like Dallin Watene-Zalesniak. He gets Sean Johnson back this week. Chance is obviously back and firing. That right-hand side could start humming. The Warriors look back in a lot of form. He's 484K. I actually considered him briefly last week, but just couldn't really make it work. Tubes, do you think it might be time for teams to start looking at Dallin?
I think so. I think he's a good option. His break-even's 5. They have the Storm this week. Not that it probably matters too much. Like, the Storm have been pretty like leaky enough that he could easily get a couple of tries. And then they've got the Titans next week. So I think he's a good option. It's just whether or not you want to back that he can get back to the same highs as last year. I think I said it last week. The Warriors have just been so funny this year. But in saying that, they've now strung, you know, what is it, 4 or 5 in a row together, SJ back. It could be time for them to sort of keep kicking on.
I mean, there's still half a season to go. Like, this is the whole, these are the moves you kind of got to make, buy low, sell high. And he's certainly, you know, priced at a 48 or whatever it is. It's, I think that's pretty good shopping for DWZ for the next little while, at least. Just again, I wish they played round 19, any one of these decent teams. All right, Blaze Talagi owners, absolutely effing blessed. Shifts out to the wing, gets a meat pie. Named again. Job security looks back through the roof, Jono.
I'm assuming you're not an owner, Matt, based from that description.
Yeah, no, that'd be a fair assumption, mate.
Look, I am one. I know, Tubes, you were one and sold recently, I believe. Is that right? And he's up over 600K now, Blaze, and on the weekend, 69 points, scored a try. Also 35 in base, which is really, really good for his floor. With all that being said, what I'm interested to hear from you guys as non-owners, because obviously I'm biased as someone who has him in the team at the moment. If he's your way of getting to Garrick this week, do you do it? Considering he doesn't play round 16 but does cover 19.
I'd be happy to sell Blaze at over 600 rather than wait for him. If you need him to get a gun like Garrick rather than sit and wait, like that's 5 rounds away, round 19. He should be in the team still then, but I don't know. Tubes?
It's not like he's made his money. His break even's 44 this week. I think if it's your way to get to Garrick, I think it's a perfect option. It's what you want out of a cheapie, an upgrade to a gun like Garrick for like 100 whatever K. It just comes down to, you know, what's your team look like? What's your trade situation look like? As I said, I think you can wait a week and get Garrick next week. Garrick's break even is 85 this week, so it's not like it's that low that you sort of have to get him this week. And I wouldn't be shocked if Blaze matched Garrick on the wing. He finished, and it was a nice finish. Like, he's a clear try scorer, Blaze. If he gets dropped, I think it'll mainly be defensive. reasons. So, but from a super coach perspective, he's got all the things that you need being on the wing.
All right, let's move down to fullback, final position of the evening. And Jono, there was one player. We're not going to start with Teddy. We're not going to start with Drinky. There's one player who's blowing up our chats today, and that's your mate, Lehi Hopewadi, who got a real good run on last week's pod, so much so that I actually had to push the fast forward 15 seconds button a couple of times just to get past it. His basement price, 204K, two nice scores to start his career. I know he's in your trade plans this week, so I'd be very happy to I'd be very keen to listen to the case for Lehi Hopewadi for a fullback slot.
I definitely don't. I'm not pushing the case that if you're someone who has two gun fullbacks that you should be trading all the way down to Lehi. And I think that's what we said on last week's pod. We were in pretty good agreement on that, Tubes and I, that we wouldn't
Matt
do
probably
it.
Probably didn't.
I didn't hear that bit.
He skipped 15 seconds. Yeah. But we did both kind of agree that you wouldn't do it if you got two gun fullbacks. You'd much rather be in that position. As much cash as would open up, I just don't think it's worth the risk that you'd be taking there. Matt, where I'm pushing it from is a perspective of if you're someone who has Trey Fuller sitting in your fullback slot who you're not playing at the moment, or if you're someone who has David Armstrong, who's now out of the team, sitting in your fullback spot, I like him as a little downgrade option. So he's, like you said, basement price. Job security looks pretty good there at Manly for the time being. He's going to play round 16, which I think is a round that some people might have numbers, but if they don't, he could be a good man to play. The risk, that's the positives. I think even if he just averages 50 over the next 4 weeks, which he's probably got three games left in him for sure before Turbo comes back. If he can do that, he's going to make about 150K. Turbo might be back come round 19 is where the risk lies. I think that if you trade for Hoppy, you've got to go into that with your eyes open and realize that could happen. And be aware and not think he's like a season-long hold or anything like that. I do think, Matt, there's the chance that with Turbo, they're going to be pretty conservative. He's obviously coming off the back of many, many hamstring injuries. Yep. And I think if there's even the slightest bit of doubt, they'll give him as much time as they need, particularly if Manly are going okay. So with all that being said, if you're a Trey Fuller owner or an Armstrong owner, I like Hopper as a downgrade this week.
I suppose it's also what you're doing with the rest of that cash as well.
I think it's worth adding his average 65.5 against two of the five hardest defenses, especially defending against a fullback. So he's played Melbourne into Penrith. He's averaging 65 and Manly have a pretty good run coming up. I think he's shown enough that he's a ball-playing fullback that can play that link man role in a pretty good side. Of Manly, that I just don't think it's the worst move. Like I wouldn't be shocked if he averaged 70 for the next five rounds, and you're getting him at 200K.
So they've got
Matt. I'm interested. Oh, sorry.
No. I was going to say they play round 15, then round 16. Then they've got the bye in round 17. As per NRL Physio's casualty ward, Turbo is due back round 18 or 19. So for me, I'm probably going to avoid. And that's also because I've got a ton of cash in the bank. So I'm more prepared to make upgrades this week. But there is a little, I think there's a little bit of hair. There's a little bit of hair on him for me, for my liking.
How are you getting Nico back?
Yeah, good question. Got to sort. That's a 2 week. That's around 17 problem. A week's a long time in Supercoach, let alone 2 weeks. All right, let's move on to the big dogs now. Very popular buy-in this week on the assumption that he's going to get dropped from Origin. James Tedesco is someone who I'm eyeing off Tubes. He's 850K or thereabouts. The Roosters have just got an amazing run. They play round 16. They don't play 19, but all around that. Teddy has been in scintillating Supercoach form. Add all that up, and I think he's probably the best fullback in the game for your Supercoach team at the moment.
I mean, Latrell made a good case on the weekend.
Yes, but Latrell's going to be playing Origin probably.
Yeah, but at the moment, like best one going forward through the bye periods is probably Teddy. I agree. I'm probably selling Latrell to Teddy next week, assuming Trell makes Origin. I just, like, I suppose it just depends when you need to make that trade and who you're trading. A lot of people doing Drinky to Teddy. I'd be happy to play Drinky against the Raiders again this week and just wait one more week just because Dylan Edwards could easily
get injured.
Come back, calf injury, just it's a obviously a weird one to have it training before an Origin. Like, you got to imagine it was decent enough. I just wouldn't be rushing Teddy into my team this week. I'd be waiting one more week if I didn't own him already.
That's interesting because Teddy's got a break even of 48. Drinky's got a break even of 109.
What's the difference?
No. I'm the information. You know, I'm the man to hold for information tube. So I'm not poo-pooing it. But I hadn't really considered that. They've got the Raiders away. Yeah, okay. All right, I'm going to give that one a bit more thought. Don't mind it. Jono, what's your thinking, re-Teddy? When are you looking to get him in?
Yeah, I'm with Jubes, actually. I want to wait and see. And I think that if Teddy doesn't make Origin, then I'd look at doing Drinky to Teddy for round 16. But I'm happy to wait this week, like Tube said. I like Drinky as a captaincy option against the Raiders.
Specifically back to Terrell for a sec, Tubes. Look, it looks likely he's going to get picked for Origin. I wanted to buy him last week, but I just couldn't because of that Origin threat, and his performance did no harm to those chances. It didn't come off. He went big. Well done to people who bought him and existing owners. Look, you just can't possibly buy Latrell this week, surely.
No, you can't buy Latrell. Like, 100%, you can't. It'll be interesting if somehow doesn't make Origin for all the cases put out. I mean, it's basically, though, the perfect position for people that brought him in last week. You sort of get a free hit now and see how it goes. I think Latrell plays this week. He probably gets picked for Origin now, and then you're actually downgrading him to Teddy, as crazy as that sounds. So it's not a bad position to be in. That's why I'm considering Lehi Hopper Wadi for Drinky this week, because I know I'm probably going Trell to Teddy next week as an option.
Geez, your argument for told Drinky over Teddy has really thrown me, Tubes. It's makes a little bit of sense. Jono, who else we got to talk about at fullback? Last one, CNK, Charles Nickel Klukstad. He is just an absolute weapon. Keeps getting it done ton after ton. Yeah, what do you say? Like, he's got to be an option, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's only at 6.5% ownership. I mean, he's only gone over. He's only got one ton this year. So I'm about ton after ton, but he's
and his ton was 101. So he's gone. He's gone 90 after 90. To be fair, so.
No, look, he's just incredibly consistent. He's only gone under 70 once all year for a score of 40. Otherwise, everything's from 72 to 101, and just super consistent. 6.5%. He's a little bit slept on, I think, Charles. He's maybe not as sexy as some of these other options that we have up for grabs. So I think he's a little bit slept on and forgotten.
So you want ceiling though for 730,000, wouldn't you? Like, that's a lot of
Only averaging 67?
Yeah, it's more just the ownership.
Why is he only averaging 67? That doesn't make any sense.
He had a 40 against the Knights. Was that the real rainy game? It was real, like, it was pouring, like, over there? Or
it was in Newcastle, yeah, very wet. Yeah, he's been ultra consistent away from that 40. His lowest score is 72.
I mean, when you've got Teddy as an option, or holding Drinky or Trells or et cetera, like, it just feels like you want a fullback that's got the ability to go 150. And Chance probably does have that ability, especially with SJ back in the team, but it feels like more of a risk to get there.
He's also averaging 82 for the year. I don't know where you're pulling out these things you're pulling out.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to filtering.
Average is 63 against Melbourne. Maybe that's, I don't know. Who knows what you're looking at?
Yeah, we'll have to solve that one after the pod. let's move on.
It's an off-air problem.
I'll give it a good
one. Pot of the week, boys. Tubes, I'm going to start with you, and it's a man who's back this week.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of made a case against it, but when I was looking around, SJ's only is obviously very small percentage owned. I just think he's a real good pod play to bring in this week. The Warriors have been killing it. He's sort of coming back into the side, and I could easily, if you, you know, if you had Dylan Brown in your halves, I think SJ is a good option for, say, a Lachie Galvin for a man with upside. He's got a huge break-even of 155, and they're playing the Storm in New Zealand. So that's why he's a real pod option. There's not going to be many following you in, other than for some reason 146 of them have done so far.
Jono, who's your pod of the week?
I'm going to go with Herbie Farmworth from the Finns there. Herbie, a super consistent super coach player. He's only 4% owned, covers round 16 and round 19. Maybe hasn't always had the ceiling in the past. Whether or not that could change at the Titans, he did get 120 only a couple of games ago against the Warriors. So maybe, at the Titans, at the Finns, he might be more of a target for the end of backline plays. So he's my pot of the week, just down to good buy coverage and his low ownership.
Somehow I'd clicked onto 2023 season, and that's why I was getting the 62.8 for chance.
And the ton after ton?
And the ton after ton. No, that was based on my inference from this year's scores. But 82 with one ton is pretty impressive. He's got to be an option. I'm tempted to make him my pot of the week, but I'm going to go with a player that I own. And that's Bryce Cartwright. I've been an owner for 2 weeks and I've been really suitably impressed. He's 7.3% owned in the top 5% of teams, 527K. He's really good coverage for round 19, break even of 33. He's looking dangerous, and Mitch was sort of looking for him a fair bit the other day. So if you're looking for that mid-ranger back rower, I don't know why you would be this week, but I think there are worse options than Bryce Cartwright in pod territory ownership levels.
He's got a lower ownership than his than Jed, which is interesting.
Jed, the nuff of the year. All right, that'll do us for tonight, boys. Good solid pod. Tubes threatening to become a memmy. Obviously the highlight. But best of luck this week. Thanks, Jono.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Tubes.
You beauty.